Welcome into Light the Lamp. We're happy to be joined today by Brian Hayward, who is on the road with the Anaheim Ducks coming down to the end of this road trip out on the East Coast. He's coming to us from Pittsburgh today. Hazy, how's it going?
Well, it's going well. It's amazing how the mood changes after a good win. And so where at times, you know, long road trips like this can get a little bit daunting. I think there's a kind of a freshness with when I see the guys this morning at the hotel, and that's a really good sign. It's amazing what winning does.
Mm-hmm. I was wondering, did they have practice today, or was it an off day after traveling in last night?
No, it was a full practice today. They actually had a day off in between the Devils game and the Islanders game. And, you know, the players get so many mandatory days off. That's covered in the collective bargaining agreement. And so the 28th was a day off Monday. And so today is a full practice as they get ready to take on the Penguins tomorrow.
Let's start from maybe the beginning of this road trip a little bit. And just go back to your time in New York, because I want to ask you a little bit kind of outside of hockey, just, you know, what's it like going to New York? Do you have a favorite restaurant there? Anything that you like to do? Because I know it's always a long trip when the team goes out there.
Well, you know, we're very spoiled. The broadcasters get to stay at the same hotel as the team. And that also is mandated the caliber of hotel by the collective bargaining agreement between the players and the owners. So, you know, we're along for the ride, so we stay in just a fabulous hotel. And the hotel that we stayed at had a rooftop bar, which absolutely sensational. And at night, when you would go up there, you know, you saw the entire city of New York all lit up. And it was just a great place to hang out. I had some friends in town, and we would meet, have dinner there. It's a great time. I love coming to New York. I went to college in upstate New York. Mm-hmm. So I've got a lot of friends that live and work in the city. And so for me, when I found out we were going an extra day early, because we left on Wednesday the 23rd and did not play a game until the Saturday the 26th against the Rangers. That's 2 full days and a half day in New York prior to even playing a game. For me, it's great. Mm-hmm. I get to visit with friends and kind of reconnect with, you know, some people I haven't seen for a couple of years. So I love it. The city was great to be in, especially because they've got a kind of an unusual warming trend that's been going on there. So the temperature was in the mid-60s and above the entire time we were there. So we all know what a great city New York is to walk around, do whatever you want to do. It's enhanced when the weather is that nice. So the start of the trip was, for me, very enjoyable.
And the players probably enjoyed having a couple days to get settled. You know, when you go from West Coast to East Coast, that time change too.
Well, yes. And they also held their rookie meal, which is kind of a ritual bonding experience between all the new young guys on the team and the old guys. So I thought it was a very smart idea to have that at the beginning of the season. You get that out of the way. We got a lot of young faces in the lineup, and we got some newcomers too, you know, with Dumoulin and Fabry coming in. So it's an opportunity for the team as a whole to spend a lot more time together as a group. And I think that's always a really positive thing, especially when you have a lot of young guys in the lineup.
Yeah, certainly makes a difference getting that chemistry going early in the season, too. You mentioned it, some of those newcomers. I want to talk specifically about Dumoulin and Fabry from what you've seen out of each of them on this trip. Obviously, you know, Dumoulin has been a big part of the defensive core early in the season. But what stood out to you about him?
Well, what stands out is his poise on the ice. And, you know, Brian's a veteran. He's 33 years old. He's won a couple of Stanley Cups. So, you know, it's so important for our young defensemen to watch a guy like Dumoulin and see how he reacts in different situations. They can learn by osmosis, right? Mm-hmm. And what Brian has really impressed me with is his panic threshold. He doesn't panic with the puck. And what that allows defensemen to do is as a forechecker is bearing right down on them, instead of just getting rid of the puck and shooting it anywhere, he's looking to make a play. He's looking for an outlet. He's looking to make a little flip pass or a 5-10 foot pass to the right guy, which is important. You know, a forward who's going the opposite direction. You get out of the defensive zone a lot easier and better when you have a defenseman like that who's able to make those plays. It's nothing flashy. It's just poise, and there's no better way to describe it. So, you know, Brian, I think is kind of a quiet guy. He doesn't strike me as a particularly vocal guy, but you can see that he just loves to play. And he's become, I think, a great mentor for Pavel Minchikov and a nice pairing partner for him, because it allows Pavel to roam. And that's really the strength of his game is right now his offensive game. And so he's got a little bit more freedom playing with Brian Dumoulin, and there's a lot he can learn from Brian just from watching him on the ice. So I think both Fabry and Dumoulin have been great adds. And it's interesting to note that both of them were picked up by trades, right? Mm-hmm. It's hard to get unrestricted free agents to come to a team that has publicly announced that they're going through a rebuild, because most veterans, you know, they get to be 32, 33, and they know they're getting towards the end of their career, and they're thinking, I want to go somewhere where I can win a cup right now. The premium free agents. Mm-hmm. And so to be able to get people who are going to have an impact on your team in the stage that the Ducks are at, you have to make trades in order to acquire those people. So they got Brian Dumoulin from Seattle. They get Robbie Fabry from the Wings. And Fabry is an interesting guy. He reminds me a lot of Frank Petrano on the ice, the same type of energy. He's a forechecker. He's got really good speed. And what a lot of people don't realize about Robbie, when he broke into the league with the St. Louis Blues, he had star player written all over him. But he's had so many setbacks with injuries that it's kind of muted the impression that people have of Fabry. But you can see him on the ice. I understand why he gets injured, because he goes into the corner with what I call reckless abandon, which coaches and teammates love, because it puts so much more pressure on the opposition. When you've got a guy like that who's willing, you know, to go in and be kind of on the edge of being reckless in order to get there in a hurry. And so I think Fabry adds a lot. You know, right now, last couple of games, he's playing with Leo Carlson. They were joined by Troy Terry in the game last night against the Islanders. And I thought he was very impactful just by his forechecking alone, because if he can get in there and force a turnover, then you got Carlson and Terry, who are the big offensively skilled players that can kind of mop it up and hopefully, you know, create a scoring chance, score a goal off of it. So the other thing that Robbie has shown, despite the fact that he hasn't really played a lot of center, because Leo struggles in the faceoff circle at this stage of his career, Fabry started to take a lot more draws. And that also becomes a really important component for that line. He wins faceoffs. That allows Carlson and Terry to have the puck a lot more. So, you know, I think he's been another really good add. So both guys in their own unique ways are very positive influences on this team. And one of the big positives in the early part of the regular season.
And you brought it up, just how Fabry has been playing on the top line there alongside Leo, and then obviously Troy last night. But there have been quite a few shifts in the lines through the last couple games on this road trip. What do you think about where they're at now? Do you like what we saw last night against the Islanders, or do you think maybe that there's still some time for shifting again?
I think it's a work in progress. I don't think these lines are going to be stabilized long term the way that they're set up. I'm saying this and I'm crossing my fingers and, you know, not good right now, because one of the fortunate things for the Ducks so far this year is that they really haven't been impacted by injuries. Mm-hmm. And that helps tremendously for a team that is kind of at the stage that the Ducks are at. But I still think there's a lot to be improved on in terms of chemistry. So, you know, chemistry is an elusive thing for, I think, a young team with some newcomers on it, because what we've seen so far from the regular season is it has been a roller coaster ride. They've played mm-hmm. some great games, and they've played some real stinkers.
Yeah.
And so, you know, I put myself in the position of Greg Cronin and his coaching staff, and it's like, how do you react to that? What's the best way to react with that? And I don't think the tinkering is over with yet. I think we're still going to see tweaks here and there. But after a win, I'd be surprised if there's much change in the lineup, as we saw in last night's game against the Islanders, because despite the fact they were outshot by a wide margin, you have to keep in mind that two things. The Islanders were struggling to score goals, and Patrick Roy had told his players, I want you to shoot from everywhere. And I'm not taking anything away from Dostal, but a lot of their shots were from the perimeter. And the way that the Ducks kill penalties, which is the same way that the Islanders kill penalties, the diamond, it's a bend, don't break approach to penalty killing. And what that means is you're giving up shots. You're encouraging teams to shoot the puck from the perimeter. You're just preventing cross-ice passes from closer to the net. It's saying we rely on our goaltenders to stop all the shots that they should stop. Mm-hmm. And we're not going to give our opponent any kind of tap-in goals on their power play. So it naturally yields a lot of shots against. It's just the way it is. And you could see that when the Ducks were playing against the Islanders, their power play was given time to move the puck around and get shots. Mm-hmm. And they, unfortunately, they came through with a couple of goals too. But I like the setup of the lines in the last game against the Islanders. I'll be surprised if there are significant tweaks to it going into tomorrow's game against Pittsburgh.
You brought him up. Dostal has just been incredible for the Ducks early in this season, especially, you know, in some of these recent games as well. I mean, he had to face a lot of shots last night against the Islanders. But, you know, from your goalie perspective, what's he doing so well?
His reads are off the charts right now. I've always said this about the elite goalies in the league, is that they just have a sense about them, what's happening next on the ice. So they're prepared ahead of the shot actually being delivered. And I liken it to, you know, Tom Brady being the quarterback. He can read what's happening on the field, and he can decide how he's going to react to it in the best possible way. And that's what I see from Lucas right now, is that he seems to be ahead of the play. He's anticipating everything just as he should. And he's such a technically strong goaltender that if you put yourself in the right position on the ice for every shot, you really increase the odds that you're going to make the save. You know, all of these guys, when they get to this level, are quick. Some guys don't move as well laterally as other goaltenders. And it's interesting. I won't name the goalie of the coach because I don't want to embarrass him, but one of the coaches in the league was talking about the fact that all of the defensive schemes that their team thinks about are designed to prevent any type of a cross-ice pass because their goaltenders are big. They don't move particularly well. Mm. So they develop their defensive scheme about maybe a flaw that their goaltenders have, that they can't move side to side well. Mm-hmm. Lucas, his lateral movement is as good as anyone. And when you think about the top goaltenders in the league, like Shesterkin, like Sorokin with the Islanders, what they have in common is that ability to explosively move laterally around the goal crease. And Lucas has that in his game. So, you know, that's a great attribute for any goaltender to have.
Yeah, and he's been just such a big part of this Ducks team and looking so well. So hoping to see that, you know, moving forward from him as well. But Hazy, when you look at the rest of the team right now, who on this roster do you want to see more from?
Well, you know, you could say everybody has the potential
yeah.
to deliver more. You know, it's funny because as much of a roller coaster ride as we've seen so far this season with the good games and the couple of stinkers thrown in, I'm very encouraged by what I see. And when you're in the stage that the Ducks are at, a lot of it is about development and a rebuild. It was amazing to me. I've never seen this before. Last night's roster against the Islanders, you look down the middle, right? And everybody says in order to become a championship team, it's about strength down the middle.
Mm-hmm.
So top to bottom on the lines, you got 19-year-old Leo Carlson, 21-year-old Mason McTavish, 23-year-old Trevor Zegras, and 24-year-old Isaac Lundstrom. That's an average age of under 22. You mm-hmm. never see that in the NHL. That's what you see in the American Hockey League.
Mm-hmm.
You don't see the NHL. And the fact that they're able to play a solid game and win on the road against a desperate team speaks volumes about how these young centers are coming along. But they're mostly all a work in progress.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, that was Zegras' first game as center this season. And, you know, we've seen Leo struggle in the faceoff circle. That's about experience and knowing your opponents and knowing the linesmen and how they drop the puck. McTavish is, you know, he's around the 50% mark in the faceoff circle. Lundstrom is slightly above that. Zegras and Carlson are works in progress. And, you know, they'll quickly realize, and trust me, it's being reinforced by Greg Cronin, that puck position really is the name of the game. If you want to have fun playing the game, more fun than you're having, you want to start with the puck every shift. And so there's progress there, but there's a long way to go. And that's just experience. Cronin calls it, you know, these guys need reps. Well, they need reps. And sometimes there are hard lessons for these young players when they're getting reps, but they're all going to get better in the faceoff circle. I'm seeing signs of life with the power play. I thought that, you know, it always starts for me with the quarterbacks, the mm-hmm. guys that make crucial decisions. So right now, we have a 21-year-old Zellweger and a 23-year-old McComb
mm-hmm.
making those crucial decisions with the puck. And I'm seeing signs of progress in the last few games. It's all about getting in and getting set up and giving yourself more time in the offensive zone for the creative guys down low, like Carlson and Terry, and to do what they do and to read the ice and make plays. And so, especially last game, I thought Jackson Lacombe had his best game of the season.
Mm.
And Zellweger is just taking off right yeah. now. I mean, I think three or four consecutive games over 20 minutes.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you always worry about a smaller defenseman, how well they're going to defend. But what I'm really liking about Zellweger's game is that puck is on his stick in the defensive zone, and he's off. He's gone. He's really quick. And so he's able to get away from, you know, these bigger forechecking forwards in a lot of different situations. He's really playing well right now.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, that to me is really encouraging. These guys are right in front of us getting better as the season moves along. So I'm encouraged by that.
Also on the end of the forwards, you know, Frank Vetrano got his first goal of the season last night. Obviously, it was an empty netter, but, you know, you look at a guy like McTavish, Cutter also, they have yet to score on the year. Is that a concern for you in terms of the depth scoring, kind of getting a little bit more of that throughout the lineup?
Well, I guess that's a, you know, depends whether your glass is half full kind of person, right? I mean,
mm-hmm.
If you told me that the Ducks would be at 500 and Vetrano, Zegras would combine have two goals, I would say not a chance that that's going to happen. We know mm-hmm. it's there. We haven't seen it yet. McTavish hasn't scored yet either.
Mm-hmm.
And yet the Ducks are at 500. So, you know, I thought Mason played one of his best games of the season. playing with Vetrano and Strome last night and moving Strome out to the wing. So I think it's a matter of time before the pucks start going in, especially for Vetrano and McTavish, who had looks and have had opportunities. Zegras hasn't had that much in the way of looks. He had one rebound last night that he kind of fumbled where he had the goaltender out of position. But other than that, I can't think of a lot of like really good looks that Z has had so far this season. But like I said, it's his first game at center.
Right.
And I talked to Trevor, and you know, there used to be a feeling amongst hockey people that, you know, center was a way more difficult position to play, and you could shift a center to the wing and they can make that adjustment because the defensive zone responsibilities are so much less.
Mm.
Well, think about these young players. So Zegras and Gauthier have been centers their entire life.
Mm-hmm.
And a center gets to see the play changing in front of him as he moves up the ice. And it's a read. You can see where everybody's going. And you're like a quarterback now. You're the third guy moving forward, and you get to react to what you're seeing on the ice. It's a much different mindset for a winger. A winger, you're asked, when we get the puck into the other end, if we shoot it in, you get in there, you bust in, and you jump on that defenseman, and you stop his progression. You hit him, or you try and get to that puck and force a turnover. It's a completely different mindset. And so it's kind of strange when I hear people say, well, you know, wing's a lot easier. It's an adjustment for guys that have played center their whole life. So both Gauthier and Zegras have been centers. And so they are adjusting on the fly and trying to become real effective, productive NHL players at a position that they haven't played before in a long, long time. So it takes a while. And I think Cutter's just figuring it out on the wing. How much he's figuring out how difficult a league this is. Can't do what he did in college. Yeah. College, he was so much better than everybody. He just blew past people, blew around people, cut in. He had time to get the puck and rip it. And his shot is obviously one of his greatest strengths. But he's got to figure out different ways now to get open. Plus, he's playing in position. I think Zegras was thrilled to be moved back into the middle last night. And I thought he did a decent job. He's got to win faceoffs, however, and his job will get a lot easier.
Mm-hmm. In some of your conversations with the coaching staff on this trip, you know, have you seen the approach change at all with going into practice or, you know, morning skate or anything like that? Or has it all kind of been about the same?
Well, I think it's much different from last year in that I think Greg Cronin is adjusting to coaching a younger team. And so there's a lot more positive encouragement coming from him than maybe what saw last year in his first go around with a young team. So Greg will be the first one to admit that, you know, you come in with, you get your first NHL head coaching job and you think you know a lot of things, but now there's more of a comfort level is the way I would describe it, because last year he didn't know any of the players when he got here. He came from the Avalanche organization. He didn't know them the way that a coach wants to know his players and what their tendencies are and what their strengths are and what their weaknesses are that he can help them with. Now he's got a much better read on what each individual player needs in order to perform better. Because, you know, I always thought as a player that even though it's a team and there are fundamental rules that you have to follow when you're on the ice to have team success, every player is an individual and they all have to be treated, you know, a little bit differently in order to get the most out of them. I think that's the magic of coaching is trying to figure out what is the trigger that gets a guy to really turn everything on, you know, positive in his individual game. And I see a big difference in that regard from, mm-hmm. from the messaging that's going back between the coaches and the players this year.
Mm-hmm. Well, Hazy, one more for you. I noticed that this season looks a little bit different in terms of the dress for the broadcast, a little bit more casual. So your packing probably changed for the road trips this year, huh?
Yes, indeed. We call that Victory Plus Casual, by the way. And it's kind of funny. All the other broadcast teams, when we go, are like, where's your tie? You know, where? What do you wear? You know, what are you doing? I think there's a little bit of jealousy and envy involved on their part, by the way. But it makes my wife very happy because she gets to go shopping for me, because God forbid that I'm the guy that is put in charge with that. That would not be a good thing. I'm colorblind, number one. Top of the line, colorblind. And let's just say my fashion sense is significantly lacking.
Well, it's good you get some help from her, Hazy. Thanks so much for joining us and calling in. And we'll see you soon after the road trip ends.
Yeah, look forward to it. Thanks, Alexis.
Thanks.
This is an Anaheim Ducks original production on DuckStream.